CBS News Brief. Vice President Vance has joined President Trump's envoys in Israel to shore up the shaky peace plan for Gaza.
Given the incredible talent and effort that's going in to the reconstruction of Gaza, to the long-term security of the Gazans in that territory, I feel very good about where we are. And again, if we get this right, I really do think it's going to be a domino that leads to a lot of further peace all across the region.
Correspondent Nicole Killian has the latest on efforts to end the government shutdown.
Republican senators have been invited to the White House to have lunch with President Trump. Democratic leaders continue to insist that Republicans need to come to the negotiating table with respect to extending subsidies under the Affordable Care Act.
Tropical storm Melissa has formed in the Caribbean. It is the 13th named storm in the Atlantic this year, but it is not yet expected to have major impacts on the mainland United States. The storm is about 300 miles south of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Firm. Learn more about divorce coaching online at horizonslaw.com.
With local news on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Port Washington city leaders are moving tonight's Common Council meeting to a bigger space as debate grows over a massive data center project near 43. The meeting starts at 6:30 at the Lepanto Banquet Center on East Seven Hills Road. Crowds have packed meetings for months with people raising concerns about cost, energy use, and water demands. Supporters say it could mean new jobs and investment. Yesterday, Martin got in the lieutenant governor's race. Today, it's Tony for AG. Two familiar Republican names are jumping back into Wisconsin politics. This morning, Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney announced he's running for attorney general again after losing to Josh Call in 2022. He made the announcement this morning in Waukesha. Meanwhile, Racine businessman Will Martin is running for lieutenant governor, promising to, quote, restore opportunity in the state. Milwaukee's DPW is again asking for your thoughts on the future of 6th Street. The city is holding the second of three community meetings tonight from 4:30 to 6:30 at Thrive on King on MLK Drive. The 6th Street Next project aims to improve safety, sidewalks, bike lanes, and green space along one of the busiest corridors in the city. City planners say they want to hear about how people use the street and what changes they would like to see to make it better for everyone. A new audit shows nearly a quarter of Wisconsin schools, including charter and choice, missed critical financial reporting deadlines that are required for state aid. Lawmakers say they're frustrated with the Department of Public Instruction, saying the agency waited over 2 months to begin reviewing reports and hasn't put strong policies in place to fix the ongoing problems. DPI Superintendent Jill Underley says the department is working to balance enforcement with supporting schools and their unique challenges. And that's the local update. It's all news all morning, 6 to 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. News anytime at WAUKradio.com. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Will Fickell be fired? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. The Badgers face number 6-ranked Oregon. Saturday night, Wisconsin has never beat a ranked team since Luke Fickell took over as head coach 3 years ago. They're 0-9. Fickell says he can't be concerned about his future at Wisconsin.
It's not going to change the fact that we got to practice tomorrow. It's not going to change the fact of anything on Saturday. But I have not been told. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I understand, you know, if we don't meet expectations and we don't do the things we need to do, anything can happen.
Athletic director Chris McIntosh releasing a statement in support of the coach. College hoops. Former Marquette star Cam Jones arrested and jailed for leading police in Indianapolis on a brief chase on I-65 yesterday. Jones, drafted by the Pacers this summer, said he was late for practice. He was clocked at 90 miles an hour. In Milwaukee, the Bucks kick off the NBA season tomorrow night against the Washington Wizards. They're planning a welcome back tribute to Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 540 WAUK.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A blustery Tuesday afternoon with clouds and showers out there. Highs reaching the lower 50s and west winds gusting up around 30 miles per hour. Evening showers, clouds, and staying breezy overnight. Lows will drop to the lower 40s. Currently 49 degrees.
50% of marriages end in divorce. Many of you listening may need our services. I'm Michelle Fitzgerald, founder of Horizons Law Group in Brookfield. Every divorce is different, so we offer a range of options, including flat fee, limited scope, mediation, and traditional divorce services. Don't go it alone. Educate yourself. Call Horizons Law Group, 262-432-3600, or visit horizonslaw.com. Horizons Law Group, where we educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, welcome to the third hour of our program. On the line with us, our old buddy Adam Green, the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, the PCCC, boldprogressives.org is the website. Also on Blue Sky, boldprogressives.org, or AdamGreen321. Twitter is Bold Progressives. Adam, welcome back to the program. It's great having you with us.
Yeah, great to see you again, Tom. You're doing great.
Thank you. Back at you.
These troubling times.
I am still citing years ago you guys did national surveys on about, I don't know, 20-some-odd topics. You know, what percentage of Americans want to see Social Security expanded or Medicaid or, you know, all these things. I'm still quoting you guys from time to time.
I have some great news for you. That was called the Big Ideas Project that the Progressive Change Institute did, and we're about to do part two of that because our country needs some new big ideas or some refresh numbers on big ideas. So more coming soon to you, Tom.
That's great. I'm looking forward to it. And please, put me on your mailing list or whatever. Make sure that I get it. I want to talk to you about the future of the movements, because you've been involved in movement politics for years and been around the block a few times. Let's talk first off about the difference between movement leadership and political leadership. I mean, you know, I think you could argue that there's occasionally a rare politician who is able to do both. Bernie Sanders, for example, Huey Long. There have been a few throughout the years. But movements are fundamentally different than political parties. And I would love to get your thoughts on, you know, what that means and how do we interact with each.
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, movements are definitely about, doing things for the long term and having a North Star goal in mind, operating from the outside in, not necessarily from the inside out. And I think even a lot of our friends in the Progressive Caucus or otherwise in Washington, D.C., think about an inside-outside coalition as mostly starting from the inside and then involving some outside actors. But when you think about whether it was Occupy Wall Street or the Tea Party back in the day, those were two outside movements that both were demanding more accountability for big corporations and doing it in a completely bottom-up style that continues to have ripple effects today, as you know well. So that's one starting point. And it actually intersects very closely with, you know, the political lens I'm looking at everything through, including as our organization endorses candidates this cycle in coming years, which is less thinking about politics, about left versus right, and more about insider versus outsider dynamics. And when you look at the world through those glasses, things look a little bit different. You know, Trump versus Hillary, before any of the policy, just who had the insider, political creature of the inside vibe, and who was a shake up the system person, right? Dan Osborne in Nebraska last cycle. In other countries, we see some of the right-wing totalitarian wannabes capturing an outsider mantle, which is very scary in places like France and the UK. And therefore, this cycle it really worries me when some people are like, I love Gavin Newsom because he's so obviously a party person and a person of the inside, not any kind of movement candidate or creature of the outside. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, we have people like Graham Plattner, the, you know, going viral star in Maine, who really could topple the decades-long insider like Susan Collins, because he really is standing for a Bernie-style, bottom-up energy, working people dynamic.
Well, now he's got Janet Mills coming after him, the governor.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it really, sometimes you couldn't script things better. I mean, Bill Clinton endorsing Andrew Cuomo before the Mamdani primary signified to New York voters, before any policy was involved, who represents change and a shake up the system vibe, and who is the last gasp of the old system. And similarly, Chuck Schumer recruiting a very nice lady, but, you know, 77-year-old outgoing governor planned to retire, getting her to, you know, run to be the oldest potential incoming senator ever in the history of the country, against a 40-something oyster farmer veteran who is just channeling outsider rage and working people rage in this moment. Couldn't be clearer. And in our mind, that will probably be the number one race to watch this entire election cycle, because it really merges movement dynamics and outsider dynamics with party politics.
Yeah, I think it's a really important point. And I've been, you know, back in 2000, which year was it that Bernie first ran for president seriously, or first ran?
2015 going into 2016.
2015, yeah. You know, Louise and I were living in Washington, D.C., and we were living in a marina on a boat. And a lot of the guys who lived down there were Navy and Coast Guard. I mean, there's a lot of military and a lot of retired military. And Joe Manchin, whose boat was right down the dock from mine.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. And Peter DeFazio, actually. In fact, Peter used to come over all the time, and you know, we'd just sit on the deck and drink a glass of wine. But anyhow, this was a real wake up for me. Most of the guys that I knew who were military were Republicans, and virtually every single one of them voted for Bernie in the primary, and then voted for Donald Trump in the general. And the reason why was because they were both running as outsiders. They, you know, we've had this neoliberal experiment ever since Ronald Reagan was sworn into office in 1981, and, you know, of free trade and low taxes and deregulation, and it has gutted the American middle class. We've gone from two-thirds of us being in the middle class with a single paycheck to now 47% of us in the middle class with two paychecks. And Americans know it. You know, there's all these, particularly the white people, who have just been bounced out of the middle class, and they're really pissed off, and they're saying, you know, who did this to me? And you get these guys on the right, these outsider guys on the right, you know, the Steve Bannons of the world and the Donald Trumps, saying, oh, it's the black people, it's the brown people, it's the women in the job categories, it's the, you know, it's the trans people, whatever. And when in fact it was the GOP that did it to them. And Bernie was saying that, and to an extent, Donald Trump was saying that in the Republican primary in 2016. And so I think your analysis is absolutely spot on. So what do we do with it?
Yeah. Well, first, I'm really glad you put your finger on the Bernie-Trump voter dynamic. A more recent version, right after the last election, AOC looked at her numbers in Queens and realized mathematically a lot of her own voters voted for Trump as well, and posed a question on Instagram: if you voted for me and Trump, can you please say why? Mm-hmm. And the dominant answer was, you're not of the system. You
exactly.
Both are anti-establishment. And I think, you know, for those of us who do polling on big ideas on a policy level, we really do have to keep in mind that there's this threshold question in my mind of, are you a creature of the inside economic system or political system rigged by billionaires that people detest? Or are you seen as a change agent who wants to shake up the system? And to me, answering that question correctly allows you to then get to the policy and all the other stuff. You know, what do we do with that? Well, you know, we really need to pick our candidates accordingly and pick our fights accordingly and make clear that our side, whether it's the progressive movement or the Democratic Party, are the ones who are actually willing to challenge corporate power, and pick big fights in a way that result in big results and impact on people's lives. You know, I was actually just talking to someone yesterday who put a new thought on my radar. You know, we've always, you know, you and I have had a decade-long conversation about picking popular fights, particularly on economic working people's issues against corporate power. And that, I think, is center of the bullseye of where we need to be today. But there's also a question of results mattering. And, you know, if you think of Chuck Schumer, he is someone who likes to find low impact, high popularity fights like taxing corporate jets that kind of feign challenging corporate power while really doing nothing and not actually benefiting people's lives. And the new thought that was on my radar, which is kind of obvious when you hear it, is people are losing faith in democracy in part because this democracy that was supposed to allow working people to have a say and therefore get better results in their lives is not showing the tangible results that one would expect. And the more that we either think small or don't pick the fights to begin with and allow, you know, basically stasis in people's lives where they see no upward mobility or movement, then our entire country and honestly the world becomes susceptible to fascists who, you know, promise big things, sound like they want to shake up the system, and will actually be in the pocket of oligarchs. Yeah. So we think that results matter in addition to messaging. Yeah. And that's why movements matter, who actually are focused on things like the fight for 15 and having childcare in people's lives and some of the other things that would be tangible improvements in quality of life.
I totally get it. Let's talk about Democratic leadership for a second. By the way, just a heads up, we have about 2.5 minutes till we're going to hit a hard break that I can't stop. We're talking with Adam Green, the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. If you just tuned in, boldprogressives.org. You know, it's very clear that Chuck Schumer is the insider. He's kind of the consummate insider. You know, he's pretty good legislatively. I mean, he knows how to get stuff done, I suppose. But I kind of make fun of him on the program. I don't really know that much about Hakeem Jeffries, though. I kind of go back and forth thinking, you know, this is the guy who can really produce change, or is this guy just a creature of the system who can talk a good lie? What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah. So I'm torn. I think he has a lot more potential than Chuck Schumer. And
which is not saying a lot.
Not saying a lot. But him on a bad day is usually better than Schumer on a good day in terms of picking smart fights, mm-hmm. getting the message out there and getting things done. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure that in this outsider moment, he is the best vessel for the energy that people need in a leader. I think he is very good by classic standards on TV. But again, someone like Graham Plattner, the oyster farmer in Maine, who goes viral by just speaking from the heart, you know, not in alliteration, you know, prefabricated sentences like Hakeem Jeffries, but really just connecting the dots in a visceral way that exudes shake up the system vibes, feels like something we need more and more of in our leaders in general, right? Younger leaders like Maxwell Frost, like Greg Kazar, young members of the Progressive Caucus, who also are very credible in the Beltway and with the establishment, even though they're keeping it real on the values front. I think, you know, younger people almost by definition understand how to be authentic more than some of the older folks. So again, I'd give them a strong BB+ for leadership potential.
But it's not just age. I mean, Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, Bernie's in his 80s, Liz Warren is in her 70s, I believe. You know, they're singing the right song.
Yeah, no, some people have it. Some people are the exceptions to the rule. But I think age is a proxy for, you know, I think you're more likely probably to connect with people in an authentic way if you haven't been primed to always be on message and, you know, almost to the point of sounding robotic.
Yeah. It's the damn consultants, too. Adam, I'm out of time. I'm sorry, but it's always great talking to you, and I look forward to future conversations. Adam Green, the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, boldprogressives.org. Thanks for dropping by, Adam.
Yep. Thank you, Tom, for all you do.
Great talking with you.
Yep.
I'll be back on the other side of this with more of the news of the day and your calls. 18 minutes past the hour. A new Nazi scandal is plaguing Trump. I'll tell you about that and ICE agents in Chicago.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be right back. Stick around. Talk media for the rest of us.
Right now, you can switch from cable television to satellite television for free. That's right. We're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill. Plus, get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. Why sign up for my program's free daily newsletter over at Tom.tv? Well, every morning you receive an email with a complete list of the topics we'll be covering on our weekday program. After the show's over, every afternoon, you'll get what I call Sue's Daily Stack that gives you hot links to every single story and information source that we talked about during the show. Plus, every day while the show is live, you can watch it at Tom.tv without cost. That, podcast of the show, a complete library of every subject discussed on previous shows, a place to view it live, it's all at Tom.tv. So why sign up to get all this at no cost? Because we want you to join us to help change the world for the better. Despair is not an option. Sign up now at Tom.tv. That's T-H-O-M.tv to get all the ammunition you need to win the water cooler wars. Tom.tv. Tag, you're it. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. What if I told you most collagen products aren't just a waste of money? They're loaded with toxins that could lead to skin issues, heart problems, and even cognitive decline. Scary, but it's true. See, collagen is the most abundant protein in your body, or you could end up doing more harm than good. So before you buy another tub from Amazon or your local store, go check out the top five collagen warnings every American needs to see, along with a special offer. It's a quick read that could save your health and your wallet. Right now, I can get you a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price and free shipping. You can only get it at getnativepath.com/Hartman.
That's Get, G-E-T, GetNativePath.com/HARTMANN to get that special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price plus free shipping and the top five collagen warnings. GetNativePath.com/Hartman. Remember the Get. GetNativePath.com/Hartman.
Tweets, acting 5 years old. He bought the news, then broke the mic. Cashed a check from CBS, killed the late night. They took Colbert off the air and put a monitor in the chair. Truth became bias. Facts turned to sin. Because you're not supposed to laugh at the king. You're not supposed.
Past the hour, Paul Ingracia is in deep trouble. This is the guy that Trump nominated to be the to lead the Office of Special Counsel, and it requires Senate confirmation. And a bunch of his text messages. This is another one of these things where you get a bunch of Republicans together in a group, and they're all talking to each other. And this is how they talk to each other. In addition to supporting Nick Fuentes, you know, the white supremacist, and being a big fan of Andrew Tate, the right-wing accused rapist, who he says has sheer physical prowess, Ingracia wrote, "Never trust a Chinaman or an Indian." And in another one, one of the members said, "Ingracia, he belongs in the Hitler Youth with Uber-Gruppenfuhrer Steve Bannon." To which Ingracia replied, "I do have a Nazi streak in me from time to time. I will admit it." He said MLK Jr. was the 1960s George Floyd. This is a verbatim quote. George Floyd and his holiday should be ended and tossed in the seventh circle of hell where it began, where it belongs. No more Mongolian Mounligan holiday. Apparently, this is an Italian slur for black people. Holidays from Kwanzaa to MLK Jr. to Black History Month to Juneteenth. Every single one needs to be eviscerated. So, I mean, even crazy Ron Johnson, the total conspiracy nut, you know, from Wisconsin, he is saying, you know, I'm sorry, I can't support this guy. Tom Tillis, Rick Scott, Rand Paul. Somebody asked this morning, should he even show up for his confirmation hearing? And I think it was Rick Scott who said, no, he shouldn't even try. But this is what you're seeing here is not, you know, this isn't so much a scandal of, you know, somebody got caught saying dirty stuff. This is how Republicans think. They are racists. They are Nazis, or some of them. I mean, here he is saying, yes, I am a Nazi. I have a Nazi streak in me. You know, I guess occasionally Republicans tell the truth. Now, what's going on with ICE agents in Chicago? This is getting interesting, too. Stick around on that and the appeals court here in Oregon. I'll be back with that and your calls right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's your media support group for We the People. Stay with us. Quince has the kind of fall staples you'll actually want to wear on repeat, like 100% Mongolian cashmere from just $60, classic fit denim, and real leather and wool outerwear that looks sharp and holds up. By partnering directly with ethical factories and top artisans, Quince cuts out the middlemen to deliver premium quality at half the cost of similar brands. I have several sweaters from Quince. I love them. I find them affordable and fashionable. They're part of my go-to wardrobe and have held up super well. And Quince has really become a go-to across the board. Louise has been checking out their bedding and travel accessories. Layer up this fall with pieces that feel as good as they look. Go to quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Tom.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it.
Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Why is it that President Trump cares more about bailing out Argentinian farmers than he does about Wisconsin soybean farmers? We'll explain the connection.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
With local news on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Our scene man is accused of stalking the Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice. Prosecutors say Ryan Thornton sent Jill Karofsky a string of emails this summer, some asking for her home address. Karofsky told investigators she's been on high alert, checking her doorbell camera whenever it goes off. Thornton was already locked up on other charges when questioned earlier this month. A new push at the state capitol could make big changes to Wisconsin's gun laws. Republicans rolled out bills that would allow concealed carry without a license and strengthen constitutional protection for gun owners. Supporters call it a defense of individual rights. Democrats say it goes too far and would make communities less safe. Eric Toney is giving the attorney general race another try. The Fond du Lac district attorney announced his campaign this morning in Waukesha. He lost to Josh Call 3 years ago. The state's top educational official wants a Madison newspaper to make things right. DPI Superintendent Jill Underley says the Capital Times got it wrong when it reported on how the Department of Public Instruction handles teacher misconduct cases. She says the story left out key facts, ignored legal limits, and hurt public trust. Underley insists that the DPI takes every case seriously and always follows open records law. UrbanMilwaukee.com has more about the additional legal trouble for former Milwaukee City Attorney Tierman Spencer. He's now facing four new felony charges over what prosecutors call a shaky real estate deal. Investigators say Spencer and a real estate agent bought a home from an estate for $8,000 and tried to flip it for nearly $250,000. That's even though the man who sold it didn't own the home. Spencer's lawyers say the charges come after he refused a plea deal in another corruption case, and he insists that his client did nothing wrong. And that's the local update. It's all news all morning, 6 to 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. News anytime at WAUKradio.com. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A blustery Tuesday afternoon with clouds and showers out there. Highs reaching the lower 50s and west winds gusting up around 30 miles per hour. Evening showers, clouds, and staying breezy overnight. Lows will drop to the lower 40s. Currently 49 degrees.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at.
This is Donald Driver. Listen up. You'll never know who you'll see.
With 17 pro courts, there's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule, plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screens. Or catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow Pickleball Kingdom on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and I dig into Donald Trump's promise to sic the IRS on his enemies. I thought that was illegal. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
All of your support.
Hey!
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it.
He stacked the courts with bought out men to drag us back to God knows when. Rights erased with the stroke of a pen. While fascist fists rise up again, he grins while mobs in camo gear scream his name and march with fear. You cheer the chaos, call it liberation, but it's tyranny clear on Trump's eve of devastation.
Bowed past the hour. Welcome back. ICE agents can now be arrested in Chicago. This is interesting. U.S. District Judge Jeffrey Cummings found that ICE agents violated the terms of a consent decree, by detaining people without proper warrants. They're basically ICE is issuing their own warrants. And that's not what the Fourth Amendment says. The Fourth Amendment says you have to go before a judge. There has to be a witness. You have to present evidence. And ICE is not doing that. They're ignoring the law all over the country. So this federal judge says, at least in Chicago, he also expanded protection for immigrants. He said you must have a court behind you, basically. And this is from migrantinsider.org. The latest order expands protections for immigrants, mandating rigorous reporting and retraining requirements for agents, and creating court-backed avenues for legal consequences, including possible arrest for those found violating the judge's directive. Under the new decree, ICE agents must document and justify every warrantless arrest. Failure to comply could result in agents being named and referred for prosecution or contempt of court proceedings. So let's see how this plays out, all right? I guarantee ICE is appealing this. This was a federal district court, so then it goes to the appeals court. Meanwhile, three judges in San Francisco in the Ninth Circuit, this is the appeals court, right? You get district court, appeals court, Supreme Court, right? That's the more or less the three levels of federal courts. A district court judge in San Francisco had ruled, up here in Oregon, actually, a Trump appointee, that Trump could not send the National Guard into Portland. And three judges on the appeals court, two of them were appointed by Trump, one was appointed by Bill Clinton. The two who were appointed by Trump said yes to this decision. The Bill Clinton judge said no to this decision. But the decision, the ruling is that no, we're going to knock out what that federal judge said, that district court judge said, and allow Trump to send troops into Portland. Now, there's just three judges. The entire Ninth Circuit is a whole bunch of judges. Forgive me, I don't recall the number, 11, 13, whatever it is, but it's a bunch of judges. And when the whole group of judges makes a decision, it's called en banc, right, in the entire group. And so Portland is now requesting an emergency en banc, the whole thing. The judges, in saying that Trump could send the ICE agents into Portland, said that, quote, there, when rebellion or danger of a rebellion against the authority of the government of the United States is imminent, Trump may do this. And so they're saying that, you know, the frogs and the unicorns here in Portland are apparently representing a threat to the government of the United States. They continued, quote, the evidence the president relied on reflects a colorable assessment of the facts and law within a range of honest judgment. Ah! Of course, these were the two Trump appointees who said this. And the justification that they used to send troops to Portland was that a guy tried to kill ICE agents in Dallas last month and shot a couple of immigrants instead. And, you know, we now know, looking back, that that guy had been a Trump supporter who was mentally deranged. But the judges wrote that the president's
measured response of only 200 guardsmen and the limited nature of the federalization for just 60 days bolsters our conclusion to side with Donald Trump. Well, we will see. So what's on your mind today, Calvin in Grove City, Ohio? Hey, Calvin, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Calvin.
This is going to the radical Republicans and about the ICE and what they aren't really a police force. They're more like a Gestapo. And the what happens is, why do they mask up is like the Ku Klux Klan, but I was wondering, if they were felons, they would never be able to have a gun. So is that why they're covering their faces?
I think it's entirely possible, Calvin. I think that ICE's recruiting standards are very, very low. I say this without evidence, but why else would you hide your face? I mean, you know, our Portland police don't hide their faces. Our Oregon State police don't hide. I've never in my lifetime heard of a police force hiding their faces. Other than in the 1870s and 1880s and in the 1920s, there were municipalities that deputized Klan members to be police officers in full Klan costume. So these guys would have their robes and their hoods and a six shooter strapped around their hip, you know, on their hip, and they'd have a badge pinned on them, and they'd go out looking for black people. And that's the last time we had police, legal police, people with police powers who had concealed their identities. It was the Klan. And it happened in two areas. It happened right after the failure of Reconstruction, and it happened right after Woodrow Wilson played Birth of a Nation in the White House. I think it was 1913. And there was this huge resurgence of the Klan, particularly down in the Deep South. So I agree with you, Calvin. I think you nailed it. So
thank you.
Yeah, Calvin, thank you very much for the call. Holly in Washington, D.C. Hey, Holly, what's up?
Well, I just got back from the White House. I didn't get a personal invitation, but I did go walk around it.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to share, and I posted a picture I took on your Blue Sky feed.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you see the damage that they're doing to the East Wing, or is it concealed by trees or things?
Well, there was one spot I took a picture, but what I wanted to share with you is in December, I signed up for a White House Christmas tour because my gut was this could be the last time, like with Trump coming in. And so I recall, like, you could walk around the White House and see the White House, and Lafayette Square was open, and it was protected as it should be, but it was kind of a nice scene.
Yeah, it's the people's house.
And I walked down, and it is completely, talk about plywood in Portland, there's like plywood painted in white to 8 feet high all the way around the parts that I saw, which would be the north and the east side of it. And it was just staggering to me the change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she just. Oh, hang on just a second, Holly.
Here.
Somehow, somehow you got popped onto hold. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but you're back. So finish your thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. I remember when I went in that Christmas tour, I probably never felt so uncomfortable in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird. I couldn't explain it. And I actually fell when I left, fell on the ground. But now I see, like, my goodness, they don't want anybody to see what they're doing.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely right. Just like the ICE agents covering their faces. These guys want to operate in darkness.
Absolutely, and it's just just heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
Really heartbreaking
to me. It really
is.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to share that this girl was physically down there, and there's no exaggeration to what's going
on. Well, thank you, Holly, for the report from Washington, D.C., and when I get off the air, I'll check my Blue Sky feed to see what you posted. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
it. Thank you for you and all you do.
Thank you. Back at you. Morris in Inglewood, California. Hey, Morris, it was such a pleasure meeting you in Los Angeles this weekend. Morris? You know, last time I put you on the air, I couldn't hear you either. I can't hear you right now. I think your phone must be muted. Oh, man, this is not working. I'll put Morris on hold again, and we'll try Norma in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Norma. You're there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's up?
Well, when you were talking about Argentine beef, does Trump understand that these southern red Republican states with a lot of rich white men Republicans raise cattle? It just, there are families here that have had thousands of acres of pasture. They raise Black Angus. There's a Charlet farm here. There's the Shorthorns that, you know, and there was a traditional family that owned a grocery store called Winn-Dixie, and they raised the beef and sold it in their stores. And Tommy Tuberville, our Trump-supporting senator, intends to, they're essentially anointing him as our next governor. But if he doesn't stand up to Trump to stop this eat Argentine beef, he may not be our next governor.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's very interesting.
Yeah, because all across the South, you have cattle farms. You know, it's the Black Belt of America. And, you know, we raise food, and you know, there are farms you can see going up and down the interstate where you will see cotton and corn and soybeans. And, you think about what happened in Texas, that blizzard that wiped out herds of cattle. And then you had that huge fire that killed cattle. Out in Arizona, cattle are dying because the Arabs are stealing the water for the alfalfa fields. And, we need to support American beef, not foreign beef, so that Trump can be friends with the wrong people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a vegetarian, and I understand that. So,
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if you heard it, but the shrimp that's coming in is being recalled, particularly from Walmart.
Because it's radioactive.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when our food supplies are threatened, and, you know, is salmon going to have radiation in it also? Is anybody testing it?
Yeah. It's a good question.
Well, take care, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Norma. It's always so nice hearing from you, and I'm glad to know that
I've been hibernating, hiding from everything. I just couldn't take it anymore.
I get it. Well, I hope you get back out there again. You're an important voice for all of us.
Oh, I do my walking and talking, but that's about all I can do.
That's enough. That's more than enough. You're lighting one of those candles. Thank you, Norma. It's 47 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. Right back with more of your calls. Stick around. If you snore and your partner hasn't moved to another room yet, congratulations. You've either found true love or your partner has no other place to go. Hey, let's talk about what your partner really wants in bed. Silence. If you want to actually impress them in bed, stop keeping them awake from your snoring and give them 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Zepa is the only FDA-approved and patented anti-snoring solution invented by a leading sleep doctor that stops snoring at the source. Zepa has a 91% success rate backed by a 91-night sleep guarantee. For a limited time, go to Zepa.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, or text TOM to 511-511 and get the absolute best solution guaranteed to stop your snoring with the Happy Z-Pack and save over 24% off. Plus, Zepa will donate $10 to breast cancer research. Visit ZYPPAH.com, use the code TOM, or text TOM to 511-511 and save over 24% with the Happy Z-Pack and start improving your sleep health today. Remember, Zepa is Happy Z spelled backwards. Text fees may apply.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Ciccone Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
Dear MAGA, you raised your fist so high, screaming justice as the tear gas filled the sky. You wore your cap, stood proud in that hall, while your messiah hid behind gold-plated walls. He told you he'd save the kids in chains, but he flew first class to Epstein's planes while you feared basements that don't exist. He was soaking in spies with a teenage guest list. You stormed the Capitol for a man who knew damn well where those jet wheels ran. He said, protect the girls from evil's hand, then drank with the monster on his private land. You believed he'd end the child.
Welcome back. 53 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here. Gene in Auburn, Washington. Is it Gene or Jeannie?
Gene.
Gene. Hey, Gene, what's on your mind today?
Well, I was listening earlier this morning, and I heard the two callers say we've got to do more. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe nobody else has thought of this. But Trump is destroying, literally destroying our history by tearing down the East Wing to build his presidential palace ballroom. why can't we fill the sidewalks of the Ellipse around the White House 24/7 so he has to see us? And then if he makes any one of those silly videos of dumping sewage on people, he'll be dumping it on the people on the streets of the White House.
Yeah.
But if he's going to tear down our history, why can't we protect our history by filling the sidewalks with people? And the construction trucks have to go in somehow.
Mm-hmm.
We can part for them, but literally 24/7, so Trump cannot ignore and dismiss the protests against him.
Yeah. I love your sentiment, Gene. I doubt it's going to happen, but I love your sentiment. And if people are listening in D.C., Holly just gave us a report. Apparently nothing was happening down there because she went down and walked all around the White House and got a picture and posted it over on Blue Sky. But, Gene, thank you. That was very well said. I appreciate it. Joe in Sussex, Wisconsin. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Hey, just to piggyback on a theme that I've been hearing all day, do what you can and try to inspire someone.
Yep.
Tonight, well, in the past month and a half, I've written about 40 anti-Trump songs, and I'm performing them tonight in Madison.
Hey, very cool. Where?
So, yeah, I'm doing what I can, man.
What's the venue?
It's the Minocqua Brewing Company, a liberal bastion.
Oh, those guys are great. We're going to get them on the show.
Yeah.
I'm on their newsletter, and I was talking with Kirk the other day when I was on the road. We had a nice long phone conversation, and Sean has reached out to him, and we're scheduling a time for him to come on the program and talk about, you know, emerging capitalism and activism. It's just they're doing great work there in Wisconsin.
I can't wait for the evening. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thanks much.
Thank you. Elizabeth in Seattle. Hey, Elizabeth, what's on your mind today?
Hey, it just dawned on me. Why don't you run?
Well, because I'm not a politician. I mean, there's an old saying, you know, do what you know how to do well. And don't try to do what you
I
don't. You
know, I'm
a pretty good talk show host, and I'm a pretty good writer, but I would not survive as a politician. I just don't have the personality for it. I'm not
an
extrovert.
I feel like you could do it with one hand tied behind your back.
It takes you've got to be one of those people who's like comfortable going out and shaking hands with people. And I get nervous when there's more than 20 people in a room. I'm really an introvert who has learned how to pretend he's an extrovert.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but thank you for the for the sentiment.
Yeah, I would feel comfortable with you doing that.
I do think though that anybody who's listening who is the kind of personality that would be comfortable in the political arena, who would enjoy that sort of thing. And Elizabeth, thank you for the call. I got to let you go here.
Thank you.
Please run for office. You know, I'm a school board, right? Dog catcher. I mean, there's always something you can run for. Get involved. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it, right? And thanks for being with us today. I'll catch up with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you. Stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money. So join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
We're a Civic Media station.
540 WAUK, Jackson, Milwaukee.
CBS News Brief. Vice President J.D. Vance joined President Trump's envoys in Israel today amid big questions about the Gaza peace plan. The disarming of Hamas, especially, former presidential envoy Roger Karstens.
If I was in Hamas, and thank goodness I'm not, I would imagine they're going to make this tough. They're going to squirrel away some of their weaponry, and it's going to be a challenge to go in and get them to turn in all their big weapons, to include belt-fed weapons, mortars, anything other than an AK-47. And even an AK-47 can do great damage, as we saw from the attacks on Sunday.
Trump hosted Senate Republicans at the White House today on day 21 of the government shutdown. More and more government programs are being impacted. People who rely on SNAP could be losing benefits soon. This woman in Dothan, Alabama.
Groceries are too high to be playing around with other folks' food stamps because right now everybody's suffering.
On Wall Street at this hour, stocks are mixed. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.